We are recording. What up, what up? Welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping. I'm your host, Greg Lehman. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Kara Jo.
Hello, hello.
This is episode 23. It's been a minute.
Guys.
I feel like we've been saying this recently a lot.
There's been a lot happening. We're going to fill you in. The purpose is to fill you in and teach you also about beekeeping.
Yeah, and a little bit about life.
Drink this beer.
Oh, good.
That we've drank before.
Yeah, I saved two of these beers. This is the collab with Three's Brewing and ourselves. Yeah, it's an oak-aged English dark mild with honey. It's very appropriately named.
We didn't even know. We pulled it out of the fridge.
It's very appropriately named Little Did We Know.
I think that should be the name of the...
And that is going to be the name of the episode.
Little did we know. And here we go. But I guess we're going to follow up on the last one. Last podcast.
Yeah, so by the way, all the folks that have reached out and asked questions and just sent us comments,
like,
you guys have been awesome. It's really been great. We really appreciate it. We love helping you, and it's really good.
It's just
really
fun to hear, because this is like one way, right? And then we get to hear from you, and it's just... fun to hear from you. So
yeah, so this is episode 23. On episode 22, we talked about how we did splits, and it's very big to us. I didn't fully listen back to the episode, but I do remember when we got done, I was like, oh man, a big thing that I missed is a part of our whole thing with doing splits is it's a brood break, and with mite management, with Varroa mite management, it's all about IPM, integrated pest management. And it's just basically that means all the little things that you can do that contribute to handling these pests. And a brood break is a huge part of our IPM strategy. So when you do a split, and the way we did it, and just like a super quick recap, is we will take the queen and 5 to 10 frames, and we'll move the queen to a new hive, and we'll leave swarm cells or, you know, queen cells that they've made. We'll leave them. So what then happens is there's a lot of, we leave brood. But once that brood emerges, then there's no more brood for a little bit, because that queen needs to obviously, you know, emerge, and then she needs to get mated and all that fun stuff needs to happen. And in doing that, there's no more capped cells. The mites, that's where they procreate. That's where they multiply, is under those capped cells. So you're exposing all those mites, and you're giving your bees a chance to regulate. You're giving them a chance
regulate
to
regulate.
we'll get to that. We're giving them a chance to take care of the mites on their own, and the mites don't have the ability to procreate like they did. So it's really, really, really helpful. Brood breaks are huge in mite management. So,
which is also nice when you're like, oh man, I got a split, and then you're like, well, this is kind of good.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to make sure I emphasized, and you know, we're a little late now, people aren't making splits this time of year, but when you take that queen and you leave that those, you know, one or two queen cells, you gotta make sure you're going back into that hive and checking to make sure they haven't that hive hasn't taken as many eggs as they could and made a ton of emergency cells.
I thought we did talk about that.
I just want to overemphasize it, because there's times where you don't need to worry about it, but you can't rely on that. So there's times where, like, you know, you have a queen cell that's freshly capped and you're so lucky that you got in there and you found the queen. She was still there. Typically in that circumstance, that queen has stopped laying. There's then not going to be fresh enough eggs for them to make queen cells out of, and you go back in, you're like, oh, they haven't made any more. That's, you know, perfect scenario, but it's rare. Most of the time, you know, you see a fresh queen cell, you make that split, you take the queen. Now all of a sudden the bees a day later are like, we don't have a queen. They go into emergency mode. So I always mark the frame or frames that we leave the cells that we like, and then I'll go back in and you clean up emergency cells and you just scrape them out. Big thing, because what'll happen, and we did talk about this, but what'll happen is with those emergency cells, you'll have a bunch of virgins emerge, and then all of a sudden you're going to have, you won't have the primary split because you've already you won't have the primary swarm because you've already made that split. You've already taken that queen, but you'll have these tertiary, these secondary tertiary. You'll have these other small swarms happen.
And then you're just losing so much of your population. You're just losing
bees. And, you know, it's not the crazy end of the world, but it's not ideal and it's not how you want to roll. So, you know, go back in, clean them up, and then you're perfect. And you just know your bee math. Know, you know, queens emerge at day whatever. 16.
Know your bee math, guys.
Queens emerge at, you know, day 16. So, you know, you look at that cell and go, okay, it's capped at day 9, day 10. I know I have like a week, or it's, you know, it's just a really fresh larva you see in the swarm cell. So, you know, okay, I still have like 13 days before she's going to emerge. So, you know, you just want to go back and clean things up and make sure, again, mark those frames, because when you're pulling those frames out, you don't want to mess up the cells that you know of. You want to be able to be really careful. You don't want to rip cells because you're just pulling every frame you can. And that's just my quick little thing. I had a couple people ask some questions, and yeah. All right, so where do we begin?
At the beginning, I guess.
I need to take a drink.
So I think it might have been last podcast or two ago, we said, like, we have stuff going on, we can't tell you about it.
It was last one, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So if you go back to episode, I think it was episode 9, it was F Hurricane Ida. That was the story of us, September 1st, 2021. We had a hurricane hit and a tornado then ripped through our property, destroyed our old farm, left us homeless. We were able at like midnight the night before, we moved all of our bees at the time that were at that property.
Onto a trailer.
Thank God for Kara. And she was like, we got to move the bees.
I just had a feeling. And then the tornado ripped right through the apiary.
I mean, we
would have lost everything.
We wouldn't have been able to find any woodenware. It would have been that bad.
So that was the last time we had moved bees. We moved them emergency mode on a trailer, and then we moved the trailer.
Yeah, August 31st, like no bees were even in the hive because it was so hot.
Yeah, if you even go to our Instagram on Mind Your Hives, there's a picture of us, I think. It's
probably, yeah.
Like us just that night. And we moved them to our friend's house, and they just sat like there.
We just drove them to higher ground.
And then they went through they went through Hurricane Ida with everybody else, but on higher ground. And then they were closed up.
Yeah, for like
a couple days. We lost everything. So then when we went back, they had been closed up for like 2 days, which... maybe, yeah, it was like,
especially in that heat.
Yeah, it was real bad. And then we had to move them. Okay, so then we're homeless, right? And then I think we were homeless for like 8 to 10 days. And someone we know has a property that has 10 acres.
And here's what's crazy. She had asked us to put bees on her property. And
yeah, any of this happened.
And we had already started making splits and moving bees to that property that earlier in that season. So in, you know, like April of that season.
Yeah, it was an established apiary.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was a situation that was made sense. It was like, sweet. She wanted to make herself look like she had a farm, and she needed somebody on that place doing farming. So it was win-win. She got to say she had a farm. We got to have a new outyard.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then once we didn't have anywhere to live, and we have these chickens, it's not like we could just like go into an apartment. I mean, we could, but like, I really wanted to keep the chickens. Losing the chickens to me was going to be like losing so much. So
yeah, like a bunch of pets and
yeah. So she
kind of a way of life.
Yeah, totally. It was the way of life that I felt like was symbolic by the chickens.
So somebody that had worked for this lady prior had hit us up and said, hey, and I'm just going to say, I'm probably going to use some bad language in this episode. We're not going to say this dumb bitch's name, but she's a piece of shit. And it's going to get ugly. So, you know, you got kids listening or something, just know.
It's already too late.
There's going to be some other expletives used.
So anyway, this other woman, we were on social media being like, guys, we're homeless, like we need a place to live.
And it was amazing. I had people reaching out, like friends in Colorado that were like, hey, I got a friend that has like extra acres that you can put your chickens on. Like,
you can live with my parents.
Yeah. It was so sweet. Yeah, and if you listen back to episode 9, I'm sure we're like, oh my God, we're saved in this situation. We're like,
little did we know.
Little did we know.
So whatever. She has us, somebody that worked with her that we were friendly with, saw on social media that we were homeless, and she hit this woman up and she was like, yo, you got to hit up Kara and Greg. Like, they need you, because she had this property with 10 acres and a house
that wasn't being used.
That wasn't being used. That she was turning into an Airbnb in the middle of nowhere that nobody was ever going to come to.
Yeah. That she had told Kara Pryor, like, she hated having this house. She didn't want anything to do with this house.
And it was an adorable house. So,
and we couldn't hit her up and be like, hey, we know you have a house. Like, we also know this bitch. Like, it's not that situation. She needs to come to this conclusion herself.
Yeah.
So fortunately, she hit us up and said, hey, I have a house you can use.
And we were just like, oh my God, yeah, this is amazing.
So we move the chickens there. We move in. It's just, you know, it's a small little house and it's fine. It works. And we go to her and her husband, and we're saying, like, hey, we need to talk about this. Like, you know, we need to figure out this situation. And she's just like this crystal dumb. I don't even want to make fun of people that are into crystals.
I know. I like crystals. Yeah, but she's, but like,
she's this aloof, pretend spiritual person.
Yes, that's what it is.
And she's like, let the farm heal you. And we're like, okay, thanks. But like, also,
this is real. Like,
we're real life. We're not rich, spoiled brats. Like, well, you know.
It's like, so she lets us live there, right? We're still not even moved in. It's the day after she was like, you can live here.
We're telling her, we're like, we're already like making appointments to talk to bankruptcy lawyers because we just lost our farm. We have a mortgage. We don't know what to do. The bridge is out. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to even get back on the property. Like,
yeah, you we're know, in a bad, it's a bad,
we're in a bad spot.
Yeah, it's bad. She starts sending me listings of houses to buy. And I'm like, shit.
And then we realize, like, oh, she's a rich little snob. She doesn't understand money.
Well, I didn't even understand what was happening.
But we go to her and we're like, hey, we know with insurance and from people we've talked to, it might be 2 years.
And she said, that's fine. We were like, let's come up with a plan. She was like, no plan. We're like, it might be 2 years.
We need to know what we need to pay you to live here.
She was like, don't even come up with a rent. You don't have to pay me right now. And we were like, okay. Like, we were like broken people. But so then.
And she, the worst part. And I started hating this asshole at this moment. She said to Kara,
stop being a victim.
Stop being a victim.
Stop being
days
a victim.
Days after we lost everything.
I was like, I'm not trying to be a victim. I'm just like very traumatized and like really broken. Like, we're not like, it was just really bizarre. And she was like, live here. Let it heal you. Don't be a victim. Buy a house. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, here's a list of chores that I'd like you to help me with on the farm. Greg, can you do all these
things
for
me? You were
Which
willing
I'm like,
to
Great.
Do.
I would love to contribute. Ugh.
Okay.
So we move in. And
but there were like a lot of red flags.
So many red flags.
But we don't have any options.
Yeah. And she had already asked us to have bees on the property. We had bees there already.
So we were connected to the property already.
Yeah. And, you know, that'll come back into play later because she asked us to put bees on the property and then wait till you hear.
Little did we know.
Little did we know. All right. So we go on our merry way.
We're living
We're
there.
In the middle. Kara has been battling since that moment. I mean, even before that moment, but since that moment to get money, insurance, it is just people, insurance doesn't lose. And they really
didn't And mortgage lose. Companies don't lose either.
And we were able to get money for like mainly for the contents of the house, but we didn't really get it much for anything else. We didn't get anywhere near enough money to fix the place. Like, it was it's ugly. It financially really ruined us. We're still financially jacked up from this situation because we still haven't gotten the final word on what's happening.
With a grant that we applied for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specific to FEMA and Hurricane Ida and yada, yada, yada. So we go on our merry way living there. And of course, like this, the whole time we're like, okay, what can we do? How can we get out of here? Like, what are we? I mean, there's times we were looking at farms in New York. We were looking in Vermont.
So
this is in Pennsylvania.
Like, full life plans. And I'm like keeping her in the loop because this person was our friend. Okay. So I'm keeping her in the loop. I'm like, maybe I'll go
loose term, but yeah. Well,
she was my friend. She was our friend.
She would send me weird rap lyrics thinking we were friends. And I'd be like, what is up with her choosing music? This lady's weird.
Yeah, she was always a weirdo. Always a weirdo. I'm like, I think I'm going to quit my job. We're going to move to Maine. I'm going to work at an apothecary. Like, nah, I don't want to do that. So, you know, just keeping her in touch. Even one time I was like, yo, I'm living in your house. So this is what my life plans are. Like, I feel like I owe you, you know, that you understand like where I'm at. So then November of 2022, right? You ready for me to talk about the basement?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
November 2022, we can't get away from flooding and the basement starts flooding. Meanwhile, all of our stuff is in the basement because she had the house ready to be an Airbnb. So we move in.
Paying rent, by the way. We're paying rent. It's not like we're just squatting in this
house. No. We're paying a lot of rent.
A lot of money to live there.
So so we move in. We move her furniture, even though we lost most of our furniture, but like we move her furniture because I was like, we had this old dog and we've like, I don't know. I didn't want to ruin her stuff. So
yeah, pack and her, up the everything. Furniture didn't make any sense. She had like, it was all crowded with chairs and we put stuff in the attic. We did the moving of her stuff to then pay her to live in her house. Yeah, I know.
We were desperate.
Totally ass backwards.
We were desperate and she knew it. And then we also run like a business out of our home. We have all of this bee stuff. So the house is packed in like every inch.
Yeah, we built these
everything.
Baller shelving units in the basement. We put, we had everything very neat and stored. And
so the basement starts flooding and mold starts growing. And we're like, yo, the basement's flooding. And she was like, yeah, whatever. And we're like,
and then I'm like, hey, you redirected this pipe or you had somebody redirect this pipe. And it's not, water's not flowing out. So there's a sump pump in the basement. She has this pipe redirected uphill. It was going downhill, so the water was,
going
away
into the
from
septic
the house.
Tank.
And she also probably illegally had a septic installed on the property, but I don't know. But seemed that way. So she has this pipe redirected. It's a stupid move. I mean, just not a smart person. Whoever did it did a just horrible job. Water's not going, leaving the it's going out the sump pump and then just dumping onto the side of the house. And I'm like, hey, water's just pooling and then it's going right back into the house. It's now penetrated your foundation. And now whenever rain happens or anything, you've water filling up your basement.
And like it's coming through the walls. It's coming through everywhere.
There's
like
over an inch of constant water sitting in the basement. Like, I'm not kidding. 10 times a day, I would go down there with I bought a squeegee broom and I would just squeegee water into the sump pump. But then it's leaving and going right back
where it left.
Oh.
So, and then everything's growing mold and we're like, damn, this stuff survived Hurricane Ida, but it's not surviving this basement flood. We were getting rid of a bunch of stuff.
And we keep like, hey, there's problems here. There's mold growing. And she's like, so she's sending people. And I'm like, hey, this is the issue right here. Here's the pipe issue. And they're like, man, that seems like the issue. Nothing gets done.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done.
Falsely sending people out. And people even say to Greg, they're like, why am I here? She like walks into our house without announcing anything. She was just
people are also showing up without telling us. I work the late shift bartending and then people showing up at 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like, nobody told me you were coming. What are you here for? And they're like, I don't know. What am I here for?
Yeah. Also, they're like going down in the wet basement. We had boots to go down the basement. And they're like coming up, traipsing mud and wet basement all over the house and then just like leaving. And she just doesn't even care. Whatever. She was just like so rude, disrespectful.
Spoiled bitch.
So then I get really sick because I have a mold allergy that's like bad that I've had for a while.
And you can tell like Kara gets it literally shows up on her face. Like she has a rash that forms around, it starts at her eye.
I was like
all the way down
to
her mouth.
2 weeks out of work. I was like lost all this weight. So I'm going up, I'm studying herbalism. One of my teachers, He's up in New York, like in the Catskills.
Hudson Valley, Catskills.
Yeah, he's whatever.
Forestburg?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like 3 hours away.
So I'm going up to see him to get help for the whole thing. By the way, he's amazing and helped me so much. And she sees on Instagram that I was up in New York, and she was like, oh, you're up in New York. That's so dreamy. That's so magical. And I was like, yeah, not really. I'm sick and I'm seeing somebody for it. And so I like took that opportunity to be like, I'm sick with mold, like very sick for months. And she was like, okay, well, let's walk. This was in March this year, okay, 2023.
So wait, even before this, there's so many red flags with this Crystal Karen. Okay. All the piping and everything in this house is super old. Everything's just pretty old and kind of gnarly and like maybe DIY done and not in the best way. And there's sediment filters that in less than a week fill up. They're supposed to fill up in 3 months.
Oh, I forgot about this part of the story.
They're fill up in like a week time. It's nuts. The water is so hard that it literally starts affecting it. All of our clothes get ruined.
Dude, like disintegrating. Like we went through hundreds of dollars of clothes, like hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know if I own that many clothes, but like, ruining the clothes and then my
every hair. Pair of socks, every pair of underwear, anything that has like a little bit of an elasticity to it,
which is a lot of my clothes.
Yeah, hello, comfortable pants have a little elasticity to them. Everything ruined, and we're like, yo, Kara's hair starts falling.
Yeah,
out.
My hair gets it's like really brittle bad, and
breaking
really bad.
So we keep telling her like, hey, something needs to get done about this water. Like you need a water softener.
And we're like paying her a lot of money in rent. So I was like, can you just like
her entire mortgage.
Yeah.
For the entire property we're paying.
I was like, can you just like take one of our months of rent and put in a water softener? Like this is really bad. She just ignores us.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to put in my own water softener. I'm going to make it so that I can when we leave, I'm going to bring it with me. But we can't be here. The water is so jacked up. Kara's hair is falling out. And she's going to your brother-in-law's house to shower now.
Once a week, I'm washing my hair at her brother-in-law's house because that's how I know her. And then I'm also doing my laundry at school. There's like a life skills classroom. And they have a washer and dryer to teach the kids how to do laundry.
Life skills.
And I'm using their washer and dryer to do the laundry.
Yeah, really great living conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, first world problems, but come on. You're paying this much rent to live in a place and we can't even get a response from this dumb bitch? So
That was like spring.
That was before November. Yeah, for sure.
Because I was still at school.
But finally, when we're like, hey, we're going to your brother-in-law's that we're actually friends with to shower, then all of a sudden she's responsive and she, without telling us, sends somebody out to
in like 2 days she to puts get in this a done. Water softener.
So it's like, oh, okay, you don't want people knowing how much of a piece of shit you are.
Also, she has plenty of money that putting this in was like no big deal.
Yeah, she's plenty of her daddy's money.
So in March, she actually lives in a house like, 9 minutes from where we lived.
Yeah.
And so when I tell her that I'm sick with mold, she goes, oh, well, like I have some guys in the wings for the basement. Why don't we take a walk and talk next week? And I'm like, all right, cool. So Monday rolls around. I hit her up. I'm like, yo, do you want to just go to like your house? Because she has like woods in her backyard. I'm like, walk the dogs. She was like, yeah, we'll walk at my house. I'm like, all right. I was actually making tincture. I'm like, all right, I'm going to finish up this tincture and I'll come over. And Greg comes in 2 minutes later. He's like, she's here.
No, like 20 minutes later, but yeah.
He was like, she's here. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, she's outside. And I was like, what? It was totally a power move that she was like, yeah, we're meeting at my house. You live in my house. Like, meanwhile, I know this is your house. Like, this isn't even...
we don't want to be here.
I don't think that this is my house.
Or she's just that dumb. You know what I mean?
It's no, one or it was the other. It was a power move. So I go out and I'm like, that was confusing. She was like, oh, whatever. So we're walking. I'm telling her that we're going to get a puppy. I'm telling her like all life plans. And she's like, not saying anything. We're walking. Like, I think the whole purpose is to like get this basement fixed. We're
being told we're going to find out in, this is March. We're being told we're going to find out about this grant in June, which is still within this timeline. That would have been a year and a half. So we're like, still keeping her up to date on the same timeline and everything that we've already talked about.
And all life plans. Yeah. Like minor life plans. So we walk.
Minor life plans.
Like getting baby chicks is minor life plans. I'm telling her that. And she goes to her car to leave and we never talked about the basement. And I'm like, well, what? So I walk over to the car and I'm like, what's going on with the basement? And she was like, I don't know, Kara. I don't know about basements. Basement guys know about basements. And I was like, okay, well, are you going to call a basement guy? And she was like, oh, they're just going to have to like dig. And I was like, what? And she was like, you know, dig. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, are you not going to fix the basement?
And it had nothing to do with us. Like, your house is going to start crumbling.
Yeah, you're ruining your house.
You have black mold everywhere, which I've sprayed for. I've done bleach treatments. I've done chemical treatments. I've painted mold shit all over the place to try to help this problem, all on our own dime.
And she goes, no, I'm not fixing the basement. And I'm just like, what?
And you're like, wait, what? You have tenants. Like, A, this, what? And B, again, you're just going to let this property crumble?
So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what's happening? I don't even know how to process this. And then she like pats me on the arm and she goes, and about that, when are you getting out? And I'm like, what? Do you need us to get out? And she was like, yeah, you're not really part of my plan. And I was like, this was not part of anybody's plan, dude. And she was like, I'm really pumping the brakes on things. And I was like, okay, like what? We can do whatever you need. And she was like,
I wish we could tell you what she's pumping the brakes on, but we're not going to get into her personal life.
So then she's just like, no, you need to get out. And I'm like, I don't understand. And she was like, well, you get it. You get it. And I was like, I mean, I get that this is your house and you can do whatever you want with your house. But like, I don't get that this is how this conversation is going.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like, we kind of saved her financially at this property by moving in.
Because she was losing a lot of money on this property.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, rich, spoiled brat. I don't think money's a thing with her. But like in my world, it's like, oh man, at least like we're really helping this person and her business out by living here and paying the mortgage for this place.
Yeah. So then she was like, it's not like I'm kicking you out. And I was like, yes, you are. And then I'm like, well, when do you need us out? And she goes, summer? And I go, no.
Yeah.
And she was like, fall? And I was like, no. I just kept being like, no. And then I'm like, what am I supposed to go and tell Greg right now that we have to leave because we're not part of your plan? And she was like, yeah.
Part of your plan that you have told nobody and
not shared anything with us.
Yeah. Which again,
and never did.
Kind of know why now, but.
But we still don't know what she's doing with that property. So
who she's doing? Oh.
So then Greg had like seen the conversation like from afar. And I guess it was like so uncomfortable that he had to like walk away. Cause he was like, I don't know what's happening over there.
It was just the body language was real weird. And I just was like, I'm going to just keep staring at this and creating, you know, wasting energy, creating what I think is happening. So I just walked over to the apiary away from them.
So then she drives away and I walk over to the
speeds away like Cruella DeVille, by the way. She drives like a fucking maniac. It's to the point where it's like, this is dangerous. There's dogs on your property. There's animals on this property. And you drive 40 miles an hour down a driveway and create a dust storm behind you. It's insane.
Well, it's like her total lack of awareness.
Her complete lack of...
She's a complete narcissist.
Understanding anyone else around her. It's so nuts. I mean, I was walking our dog once. Our just had surgery dog on the road that leads to this property. And she flew by so fast, I didn't know it was her. And I threw my hands up and I was like, what the? And I'm screaming. And I'm like, oh my God, that's our landlord driving like that.
So I go to Greg and he was like, is it bad? And I'm just in shock because what you need to remember is a year and a half ago, all of a sudden one day we were homeless. So then all of a sudden, like
all those feelings
and just like, oh, like, oh, it's just the worst feeling.
It's like the biggest kick in the balls that you are like, I don't think this pain can go away. You're now just permanently feeling like you've been kicked in the balls.
Well, I don't know what that feels like, but I know what this feels like. So
it just sucks the life out of you.
And he was like, are we getting kicked out? And I was like, yeah. And we were like, what?
I'm like, what?
So
I'm like, what?
And you know what's awful is walking towards you knowing that I need to tell you
this.
Yeah,
I could see it on your face. That's why my first thing I said to you was, are we being kicked out?
So we go sit on the porch and we're just like processing and brainstorming. Like, what are we going to do?
Interest rates are at an all-time high.
And people are trying to buy houses.
The mortgage crisis is crazy. It's the worst time to buy a house. It's so bad.
And we, again, can't. We have 27 hives at this apiary now.
Yeah. We have chickens. We have a business. It's, you know, so I'm like.
And you can't just move bunch of hives to any old property.
I'm like, maybe we can rent somewhere. I'm like looking. I call people. You know, I spend the next day just Googling, just searching, just calling, emailing. Nothing really makes any sense at all. Like, just nothing makes sense. And especially because we're supposed to find out in June what's happening with our lives. Like,
so the grant is that the federal and state and local government will buy our house because it's condemned.
Yeah, they'll buy that property.
And then they, like, tear it down and they turn it into a park. So that's what we're waiting for.
I'm looking at everything. Mortgage rates are just dog shit. It's just a terrible time. But I'm like, obviously we have to get out. And like, I mean, Kara is a mess.
Yeah.
I feel bad that you're a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I think the next day you called off work.
Guys, I've been a mess for quite some time now.
Yeah. Hey, we're walking a tightrope emotionally over here.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
No, I didn't call off work. And then I went to work and I was like, I should not have come to work today.
So we talked to like a real estate person. He's like terrible. We have to get rid of him right away. I'm looking, okay, can we just buy like a half acre plot of land? We could put the chickens on there. We can get a modular home put on it. Like, okay, like a timeline on that is like 6 months super minimum.
Well, also, like, our goal was to have like
we don't have savings really built
up.
Well,
we had some savings, but not like for this situation.
Yeah.
So, and also like beekeeping, insert. I think it's like suggested you have like 10 hives per acre, right?
Right.
So we.
But I'm also like, well, the hives were here first. Like, we don't need to move these hives. I'm like,
right now,
we want to get them off the property because this bitch is crazy. But like, we can figure out a different place. We can look into property. There's people that we can get use their farmland that aren't, you know, daddy's spoiled girls.
But ideally, we wanted to be able to move the bees to our property.
Yeah, because that's.
So we're looking for like, at first, like Greg said, we were looking for like a little bit of land. But then we were like, we kind of need more land. But like, things are insanely expensive. Like, how are we going to do that? Within a week, I find this house, right? It'd been on the market for a year and a half. Little did we know, our friend's dad owned it.
He's a real estate flipper person, and he bought it off of like it's a house built in the 40s. It had one owner, and patriarch passed away maybe 10 years prior, and then the matriarch still lived there. She had like a friend living with her, and then I think she passed away, and whoever the house was left to sold it to our friend's stepdad, who was gonna flip it. And Kara shows me the name, and I'm like, it's like Rick, whatever. And I go, I'm like, yeah, cool. It's like a pretty strong porn name. And she's like, no, that's Danielle's stepfather. I'm like, wait, what? Weird synchronicity number one.
But this house needs all the work.
But it's a complete gut job. But there's 6 acres. I mean,
and it's in our price range.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a complete gut job that needs a new septic and needs a complete rewiring and everything. it's in our price range. So we call him, we're like, hey, what's up? Just want to like, you know, casually talk about this. He's a cool, he's a very like by the books guy. So we're like, all right, we get a real estate agent. Then it's like, so you know, have them do their talking.
Within a week, we found the house. Within another like week and a half, we put an offer in and we go 30 days to closing and we get the house. So this happened mid-March.
And we closed April 15th.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And
April 15th, dumpster shows up. We start demo.
I guess it must have been beginning of March then. So, yeah. And we just, and this house, guys, the house smelled like old people and cat pee. They like had, so bad.
We last count, we were told there was 8 cats living in here.
They have a catio. If you don't know what a catio is, you need to look it up.
It's like patio, but with a C.
But that you can...
Indoor, outdoor.
Yeah. It connects to a window and then the cats can go out on a catwalk, screening catwalk, and then go into this like porch, screened
like,
in porch.
Looks like where you'd keep monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's still out here. We've been torn it down.
It's low on the list to get rid of. If anybody wants a catio, it's about it's 1,000 pounds. It's not pretty sweet. It's structurally very impressive, but it is an eyesore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not nice. It's really gross looking, actually. But
so like
sweet for the cats.
You know, we barely have enough money to put a down payment on this thing. We have a $15,000 budget to completely demolish and rebuild the inside of the house. There's 6 acres, but they're completely
covered in multi-floor
never been touched. Just, I mean, thicket. Like, so much so that we still haven't been able to walk into the property very far because I bought a giant machete and I can't get through it. It's crazy. So we immediately go into like, how can we get this land workable? Because we need to move bees here in the winter time, because that's when you should move bees. You shouldn't move them in the middle of the summer. So I'm looking into it and it's like multi-floor rose. So that's like that. It's a beautiful little white rose that comes up, but it's a crazy invasive, super thorny, just takes over.
It's a bitch. It's such a bitch to get rid of.
It's everywhere. And I look up and it's like chemical. You can chemically treat this or you can get goats. And I'm like, so Kara, we've always wanted goats. We're going to get goats now.
We had to get goats.
And she's like, what? I'm like, we're getting goats. So $15,000 budget. We literally can't pay anybody to do anything. Like, just
thank
doing
God for YouTube.
Just doing drywall would cost more than $15,000 in labor costs. So I spend the month leading up to closing literally hours and hours a day. I like software program CAD out the whole house. I do cost analysis on everything. I pre-order. I buy the tools that I need. I just do
research,
hundreds of hours of YouTube research on how to do things. Like, I'm pretty good with stuff, with building and carpentry. But like, I've never done drywall. I've never wired a house. I've never put walls up and built, restudded and blah, blah, blah. Like, never done any of that stuff. But like, I know how to measure. I know how to cut. I know how to hammer. I know how to screw
the basics.
Yeah. So I spend like literally a month, like, I mean, a entire notebook, just page by page, is like room by room. I mean, you know, pretty nuts, because this is a crazy low amount of money that we have to be able to do this. And also, it's prime beekeeping season now.
Yeah. Oh my God. This beekeeping season has been.
And spring was
insane.
Spring, for anybody on the relative East Coast near us, spring was extremely good to us as beekeepers because we had a crazy flow. It was an early spring flow. So, I mean, beekeeping has been great, but that means beekeeping, it's involved. And we now have like, you know, we're up to 50 hives. There's a lot there.
And we're building house. And like, I'm like waking up in the morning, going to school, coming here, like helping out. So it's like every second of every moment is filled with stuff to do. So
we ended up filling 30 yard full dumpsters, 9,000 pounds we took out of this house and put into dumpsters.
If you go to Cara Jo Bee Farm on Instagram, there's like one video. We have more to post, but of like the beginning of demo. And like
all the walls were involved? Two layers of plaster, or one layer of plaster, one layer of drywall, one layer of like 1 by 6 inch wood. I mean, it's
great. So much.
We kept a lot of the wood. We're using it in a lot of different places. It's like fun to upcycle stuff, but like it was one of the more involved demos of all time.
People are like, this is so fun. I'm like, I hate this. Yeah. I don't know.
Demo's fun for one hammer into a wall, then it's really not fun.
Because people are watching HGTV and they're like seeing it for 2 seconds. I'm like, this is not fun. I do not like this. I'm not happy about this. Yeah. So, okay. So let's fast forward. So we get the house. But we're not communicating with her at all because she's a psychopath and like all of these other things are happening. And we are like, okay, we're going to be out June 19th because she's like, I'm fixing the basement. She goes, I'm fixing the basement after she told us we had to go out.
We stopped paying.
Yeah, rent. We did stop paying rent.
Yeah. So she starts sending these emails. That's like, these are all the things that I've done. Complete bullshit. She hasn't done a single thing.
She like, so this is going to be for the video later. She like sends emails and texts that just like back up her own delusional reality. So she can have this delusional reality in like writing. So it can be like real.
Yeah, it's like, just because you put it in writing doesn't mean that's what's going on. What world do you live in?
Okay, so we're rushing to get out of the house and move in here into one tiny room that like, and you, whatever. It's just when you demo a house and then you live in it, there's not anywhere to move the stuff into. So it's like all in the garage. It's like just all very chaotic. And she's like, you know, you need to be out. Oh, I haven't received rent. That's what she said. And she was like, where's rent? I haven't gotten it. And so I write her this like long email that I like get help with. And it's basically like, yeah, your
from people that know her.
Your security deposit, you keep it. And I'm not paying you rent because of all of these reasons. Why?
Yeah, we're not living in a safe. You haven't provided a safe place for us to live. Like in the eyes of the attorneys we spoke to about the fucking slumlord that we have, we weren't living. It's called like a decent living situation or something, where it qualifies as slumlord and you no longer need to pay.
So she never writes me back. I wrote this like amazing email.
Yeah, she didn't write you back because it was such an amazing email. You crossed all your T's, dotted all your I's, yeah, and I really dropped did. The fucking mic.
So she doesn't write me back, right? But she unfollows me on social media and I was like, okay, is that like the repercussion here? This is also bizarre. So
it also just shows who she is.
We move out and it takes longer than we wanted because it's just like so much. And you're like moving in a rush.
In the middle of summer,
like Greg's here doing skilled labor and I'm just like moving, doing unskilled labor, but like moving boxes, whatever. We're moved in and we're like, okay, like here we go. Yeah, now we're here.
We have a shed that's still there that we put up, and obviously, we have the bee yard that was there before we were tenants.
And we have a bunch of cords of wood.
Yeah.
So it's a Friday. I'm on my phone. I get this email from her. I like can't even breathe. I'm not with Greg. I call him. I was like, she wrote us an email. And it's basically like, it's very delusional. It's very cold. And it's basically like, you still have things on the property, including active beehives. And if you do not move everything off the property in 10 days, like I reserve the right as the landlord to do like whatever, right? Basically like whatever I want. Basically like I'm going to kill or sell your bees.
Yeah. Have your bees taken care of.
Like again.
What does that mean?
Can you break me any further? Yeah. Like just like broken after broken after broken. So
it would have been really funny because she would have had to like reach out to me to move the bees. Like,
yeah,
those calls would get redirected my way, crazy enough, in this bee world, small bee world we live in.
So it's Friday night and I'm like, Greg, what are we going to do? And he was like, we're moving the fucking bees. And I was like, well, we can move them to so-and-so's house. He's like, we're moving them here. So guys, when you move bees, you have to move them to a apiary that is established that you can move them to. So
now we have goats. They've cleared land, but they've only cleared the land that is their little living situation. We haven't been able to make them clear extra land. So the whole thing that we needed a couple months more to have them actually clear enough land to put an apiary in.
Not happening.
And there's points where we're like, okay, let's reach out to this stupid Crystal Karen and let's lay it out for her. And we go, no, she's a delusional psychopath.
That has no empathy.
She has all these employees quitting on her. We have her ex-employees calling us and talk and being like, she's a psychopath.
Yeah, she's like falling apart.
So yeah, she's crumbling. Karma is maybe real because I think her life is probably crumbling.
But I think she's not, like in the email, she was like,
respond. I hope this finds you well.
And then she was like, respond within 3 days and we can end this amicably. Amicably, yeah. Bitch. This
she's like,
ain't
if you
amicable.
Agree to my she's like, if you agree to my terms, I won't like come after you law-wise or some shit. We're like, what? We're going to come after you law-wise.
And by the way, we're exhausted at this point. Like emotionally, physically exhausted. We've been working day and night for, well, when was this? This was in June.
Yeah. So, I mean, literally April, May, 3 months.
This wasn't that long. It was just a couple weeks ago. Like, 2 weeks ago?
Month
I don't
ago.
Even know.
It's July 29th.
Oh, God. So.
But it's like, okay. We
no, it was two weeks ago, I think.
We can't risk. No.
Okay.
Like, we can't. Her email came in 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we can't risk. It was like July 19th.
Yeah, that was two weeks ago.
No, 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 because
it doesn't matter. Yeah. That doesn't
so
matter.
We're like, she's not a reasonable human being. We have to act on this immediately. Like, we can't take the risk. So we just need to do this.
So thank God, Sunday. So this is Friday night, right? Sunday night.
So
it's
we start
cold
clearing.
And rainy.
We start clearing a new area of land, and building hive stands, and just. Not
so
where
like,
we want to keep our bees.
No, but it's like carrying cinder block after cinder block. I'm like, I'm so
ripping
tired.
Out. Yeah, I at one point I like brought the goats over and I tied them up and had them eating multi-floor rows to clear some of the land because it's impossible to get that shit out of here.
And
but
they
we're
did
like
a great
landscape
job.
Tarp. We're, you know, I mean, literally like Saturday morning, this all started. You know,
so
the next day this all started
Sunday. Sunday, it's cold, unseasonably cold and rainy. So we're like, we have this window. We got to go. We got to go to the apiary. We got to close it up, which we used memory foam. We bought a roll of it from Target.
Yeah. So this we talk about this in episode 9 at Hurricane Ida. But how we move our hives is we... so how we move our hives is... I call it the Pharaoh method. There's probably a term for it, but... You close the hives up, so you block the entrances. Now it's the dead heat of summer. I mean, it is the peak of our summer season while this is going on. So like the bees are out and about. They're hanging out on the porch. You know what I mean? They don't want the heat inside. So they're hanging out outside, when they're not foraging. But because it was cold and rainy at night, we're like, okay, we can close them up now. So we got memory foam mattress, like not memory foam might be the wrong term, but the, it is the like egg carton mattress pad. So we like $20 at Target. So we get one of those and that's what we use. We staple gun that over the entrances. So that way air can move in and out. It can breathe. You're not, you know, blocking their airflow or anything, but for the most part, they can't get out.
But and you can cover it up like the last time we moved the bees.
Last time
just,
it was just little slits of wood.
Yeah,
like,
it didn't work
It was like
well.
Thick quarter
this
inch plywood that I used because that's what we had at midnight when we were doing it. So, you know, we learned our lesson. Round two was a little bit better. We have a trailer. It can fit like 12 hives, full hives on it at one time. So that Sunday night we go, we close up, we end up closing up all of the hives because it's like, okay, this is the time to do it. There's bees everywhere. But like, you know, the bees have chewed like some holes in boxes or we have holes drilled for mite treatments. And there's just ways that bees can get out. So it's not.
Or like the lid isn't.
It's very not ideal to, you shouldn't move bees in dead of summer unless it's like you're doing it on purpose, like your pollination services. And then you're keeping your bees in a different way.
Also, we had just harvested our spring honey, so at least that was the case. So we did have supers on,
but
not like
full,
we don't have like yeah. 5-6 boxes. I think the most was 5, and we didn't even have a lot that
and
were
like,
5.
And the top one was like essentially empty for the most part. But that still means they're about 250 pounds each.
Yeah.
So the way we do it, you take two cargo straps, you strap them in, you put 2x4s underneath the lid.
The edge of the lid.
So on telescoping lids, that's like, you know, you can do it on the long side. On the migratory covers, you have to do it on the short side of the hive. But you strap it in, you strap the 2x4s in with the cargo straps too, and then you lift it like a pharaoh, like, I don't know, like you're carrying Queen Cleopatra down the streets or whatever. Like, and two people can then move a 250-pound hive. I don't want to say with relative ease because it's not. But it's
doable.
And we also have to walk this out of this apiary that's in the middle of a field.
It's not close.
200 feet.
Yeah.
Like not the best terrain. It's just, and it's rainy and it's nasty.
I was happy that it was raining though Sunday. So we get 12 Sunday night, but then you get them here. Then you got to move them into their spot. So it's like,
yeah.
It's just.
And the spot, of course, again, isn't ideal. It's not prepped finished. Where we can like drive them to the spot. We have to walk them over awkward terrain. It's not a
Sunday good night. We finish after midnight. But then we still have a bunch of bees in the apiary. So you got to get up early Monday morning to move the rest of them. So we wake up early Monday morning and we load up more. And
by the way, on Saturday, shout out Chad Towernicki, we moved the shed. We moved like a 7 foot by 7 foot square, you know, one of those big plastic sheds that you can't take them apart. As soon as you take them apart, they're never going back together. We load that thing somehow onto a trailer. We get that thing moved in here. It takes like the life out of me moving this damn thing.
I was at market. I was like, I'm so glad I'm at market today. I don't have to do the shed.
There's been a lot of people that have helped us during this situation. Chad, his wife Justine, I mean, godsends.
Yeah, well, we couldn't have done this without the two of them.
I mean, literally, we'll get to it. We could not have done this without Chad.
So Monday morning, we get there early. We move. So Monday morning, Greg has his rain jacket on because he...
Well, Sunday night, that's what I used. I just put a veil on and I had my rain jacket because it was pouring rain.
But you also had your bee jacket because you were like, I'm not putting my bee jacket on because it smells and it's wet.
Well, when we got back here...
On Monday.
I used my bee jacket.
Okay.
So the rain jacket is drenched, soaked, gnarly. I then put my bee jacket, you know, like ventilated bee jacket on. And, you know, you've then just moved these bees. They're not happy. Some of them are getting out. I get stung about 30 times.
Also,
they got under my jacket. I'm just getting popped all over the place.
So he was like, I'm going to wear my rain jacket. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea, but okay. So we go, we move.
And I'm just like robot mode.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's the only way. Yeah. You're just like in survival mode. So we go, we move them. Chad meets us and Greg is struggling. And it's like getting later in the day because in the morning it was cold, so the rain jacket was fine. But later in the day,
cold is relative. It's like 70, 65.
And it starts getting like hot, and he keeps talking about how much sweat he's been.
Drinking a bunch of water.
Right.
Like I'm being smart about that, but like it's, you know, I'm AC Slater cutting weight for a wrestling match over here.
And to give context, we didn't have AC in this house, like hooked up. So
this house is 90 degrees.
We've been working in the house, sweating like for weeks.
Yeah.
Months. So we get the whole thing done and.
Well, we don't get the whole thing done. We get another
round.
Another round done. We got all but like six.
Yeah.
Done.
And so.
Well, not done. We get them here.
Here.
Yeah.
And, I said to Chad, I was like, dude, thank you so much. And he was like, yeah, Greg's like, I'm so glad I'm here. Like, Greg's having a hard time. I was like, yeah, I know. And then we go to their house to swim to try to cool off. And then Greg's like got all these chills and we come back and we're supposed to finish that night. And I look at him and I'm like, he can't do this.
My body's like swelling up. My joints are like, I've been so much pain. I have this headache and I've had the headache started Sunday night. But it's the point where I'm like, I think this is what migraine is like. Like, I can't move. Like, if I just tilt my head, it's just stabbing crazy headache pain.
So I'm like, all right, we can't do this tonight. We'll do it tomorrow morning. So this is now, we close them on Sunday nights. Tuesday we're going to go into Tuesday morning. The plan is to go move them Tuesday morning. And Chad thankfully texts me and he goes, if Greg can't do it, you can meet me in the morning. And then Greg can unload later in that day. And I was like, Greg is like progressively getting worse. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to be able to do this. So thankfully, Chad meets me at 7 a.m. But then we got to post a picture, like a major fail of closing up one of the beehives that is like,
yeah, one of the lids
they
is
are
not
out. I'm like, oh my God.
There's a full beard situation
and then,
going on.
And they've been closed up for like 2 days now. And there were times where I was like, Chad, run, go. And we were just like, run. We move them all and I get home. We bring them here and I get home and I go in the room and I look at Greg and Greg's like, stop looking at me like that. And I'm like, I am alarmed at like your state. Like I was not expecting this. So Chad comes back for lunch. We move all of the bees into the apiary and Greg is like dying. Like I've never seen anyone like that. He had such a high fever that like he like stole my blanket because he chills. He like couldn't get warm, but his fever was so high. He stole my blanket. He had all these blankets on. I was like, yo, dude, that's my blanket. I took it. The blanket was the top one. It was hot and he had like all these blankets on. So, and then you started taking like a cold shower.
Well, yeah, at that point I had 104 fever and it was like, oh no, we need to knock this down. It was the highest it ever read on the thermometer is 103.8. And that was the next day. So
yeah,
I never
felt anybody as hot as you.
In hindsight, I really should have gone to the hospital.
I can't tell you what to do, man. Yeah, you do whatever you want.
I'd ice bath or cold showers, just ice packs, just covering me. I mean, it was gnarly. While this is going on, though, I get a text from our HVAC dude, and he's like, hey, I can come by and get your AC going.
Like, whoa!
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm not at home. Meanwhile, I'm naked with ice all over me, one wall away from him. Like, Kara's home. You can talk to her. And he, you know, it was just like a wiring issue. He gets it hooked up. So, like, yeah, granted, we don't have like ceilings everywhere and there's not insulation. So like hot air, I mean, we're just wasting energy, but we're able to get it down from 90 to like 80 in the house.
Yeah, it took
big victory.
It took a long time to get it down. But okay, so then, yeah, so then we're in, I guess that's it. Like we're in the clear, the bees are here. There's so many less bees.
Yeah, I mean, bees definitely
die. In the bee yard. It's nuts. We're going to have to... So we haven't been in the bees for quite some time. We're going to have to go in. We got to do some sampling and testing and treating, possibly.
Do mite tests for sure. Treat a bunch. We're supposed to have a little cooler break.
That's not it. Then I have my confrontation. Okay.
Oh.
Finale, right? Have we been talking a long time?
Not really.
Okay. Guys.
Almost an hour.
This is it.
So, okay, wait, this is fun. So, right before all this happened, Kara got a great video of piping. So, piping is when a virgin queen emerges, and then that means there's other queens in the hive. Some of them could still be in the cells ready to emerge. Others could have already emerged, but they do this piping sound. They like stop and they vibrate their body and they make this like,
you can hear it on if you go to Mind Your Hives.
And it's them going like, warriors, come out to play. And it's them being like, let's fight. What Kara's about to play is the closest thing to Kara piping. It's so rad. So this is probably Wednesday.
No, it's Thursday because Wednesday, my friend. So we have cords. How many cords of wood did we have to move then?
I have three.
So I have two friends. They helped me move like 2.5 cords of wood. I got to go
like
back
two
on
full
Thursday.
Trailers
or
for
like
sure.
Friday, yeah. Whatever. I think it's Friday.
And, it is because there were workers there.
And I'm moving the wood by myself.
By the way,
it's like 90 degrees.
By the way, basement's totally refinished. She fixed the things that we had told her. There was no locks on the door. We're like, hey, Kara's like, can we get a lock on the door? I don't feel safe when Greg's not home. She never responded to that. Guess what? She put locks on the door.
She fixed the
deck slots that were unsafe and wobbly. Like, message clear. You were trying to get us to move out by making our living situation hell.
Like, not just have a conversation. I get that
don't
conversations
be a fake
can be
bitch.
Hard, but like, come on. So, okay, so... I have the last, it's the last day. Like, I did not want to be there. I thought I was already going to be done. Like, I just want to be done with this property. I go.
Her husband's dying.
You're dying.
I mean, I was bedridden for 3 days.
Yeah, it was really bad. So I'm there and I'm loading up wood and I'm like so hot and like, you know, just broken. And she pulls up and I'm like shaking. My hands are like shaking and I'm like, and then I'm like, look how hard this, like, I'm just like in my mind, like, I want her to see how hard this is for me. And then I was like, you know what? Screw that. Like, I want her to see how strong I am. So I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's so hot. And I'm like moving all this wood and like all this stuff.
Yeah. And you are strong.
And I'm like, I have a wheelbarrow and I'm like, have the, and she doesn't get, I don't see her get out of the car.
Because she scampered out of her car and ran into the house.
So
like a scared little brat.
So I, but then I'm like, okay. So then I'm like loading up the wood in the wheelbarrow and I'm staring at the car, like just, cause I think she's in there. So I'm like just staring. And, at one point she might've been in there. And then I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna like, what am I gonna say to her? Because I'm gonna say something to her. Cause if I don't say something to her, I am going to regret this for the rest of my life. So I go get all the wood in, go to walk by her car to get some more wood that was like on the porch. And I go by the car, like staring at the car. And then I get close. I'm like, oh, she's not even in there. And, but I'm like in the car, looking in the car, like, are you hiding? So I load everything up. We had like mason bees, which we'll have to talk about that sometime. Like, I get everything that I need off that property in the car. I had put like a temporary nuke in the apiary just for like the last little bit. I should have put two, but like the last little bit of bees there in the car. And then there's like this barn with her workers and I know the code. So I go into, I do the code. I go into the barn and I like, the employee later tells me like they thought somebody was coming to kill them. Like I'm pounding on the door and she's,
all right. So wait, so you go in the barn looking for Crystal Karen. You knock on the door. One of the employees comes out because you're knocking on the door with such force. She's like, "What's happening?" And you're like, "Is she here?" And they're like, "No, she's not." And you're like, "Oh, but she is here." And they're like, "Oh, we didn't even know."
And I'm like, "She's in the house." I'm like, "I'm going in the house." And she was like, "Okay." So I go to the front door and I'm knocking on the front door and she's not answering. So I go to the back door that doesn't lock to go in that. I'm going in the house. I have this very succinct, I think I'm going to like have a face-to-face conversation with her. So I have this very succinct thing that I am going to say to her that I've been practicing while I've been unloading the wood. So I don't mess it up because I don't want to look like an idiot,
yeah.
You know? And so she but put on
somebody that has acted this way. Somebody that has been this person needs to be told,
yeah,
that they've been this person. Somebody that lives in a delusional reality, they can create their own reality, but you need to say things to this type of person. You need to say it to their face. Like, I totally, right. You have to do that.
Right.
I feel this way all the time in life where you're like, you don't need to say something to that person. I'm like, yeah, I kind of do.
But she's been treating everybody like trash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't think she has any friends. Everybody hates her. She's a shit human being. But it's time that we get to tell her to her fucking face that she's a shit human being.
So then I go to the back door to go in the house, but she put locks on the door. So she had ran in the house and locked all the doors. And then there's the greenhouse. So I go in the greenhouse because I know the greenhouse doesn't lock and I try to get in the other door. Like I am like trying to get into this woman's house.
And because you're knocking on the door, she's not answering.
Yeah. And I'm knocking on every door. And then, so I finally start going like, what are you doing?
She texts you.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm saying things to her. I'm like, come out. Like, what are you doing? Why are you hiding? And she text messages me, what's up? What's needed? Well, guess what? Now I know you. I already knew you were in there, but now you confirmed.
Know that I'm here. Now you know I'm knocking on. You've shown us that you know that you're knocking. You're hearing the knocking on the door.
Oh, my
and
God.
And you're ignoring it.
So I go, listen, I lived there for a year and a half. I know exactly what door to go to like be able to, one, be able to see you, though she's hiding.
Yeah, it's a tiny house. You can hear everything.
And two, where you can hear me, right? So I start recording this situation because, one, I want to tell Greg what happened. But two, this woman is
she's insane.
Insane. So like also just to like CYA.
And cover. Yeah. What is CYA?
Cover your ass.
Oh yeah.
It's a teacher term. Oh. Do you want to hold
you
this play
on? It. I can adjust the volume.
Okay. So this is me at the back door. This is it. She never answers the door. She never comes out. She stays hiding. And this is my, what is it called now? I can't remember it.
Your little soliloquy?
No, like the virgin piping. This is my piping.
Fine with the way you've been acting. There's nothing you should be scared of to have a conversation with me.
This is Kara like walking like to the next door.
You're just going
to
hide, huh? Well, you're a heartless coward and your weakness is obvious. And my strength and my resilience is clear.
Mic drop.
That's it. That's all I said. But I was like, called Greg. I'm like, you gotta answer the phone. Oh my God.
And there's so many people that know her that are like, oh my God, this is amazing. She needed to hear that. Like,
it's and there's no so way perfect. She didn't hear me.
What is it again? Your weakness
is obvious.
My strength
and my resilience is clear.
Yeah, it's so good.
You're a heartless coward.
You're such a my voice would have cracked. I would have just called her the C word.
I was ready. We've gone through so much. So then she never comes out. We don't hear from her. And then we get a certified letter that says, you don't have to pay your last rent. And we're like, yeah, we told you we're not paying you.
Yeah.
So that's it. So here we are. We got things kind of.
Little did we know
what we were in for when we thought we were getting saved a year and a half.
So I hope nobody experiences any of this. But some of the beekeeping things to take out of it is the next time somebody asks us to put bees on their property, we're going to get some writing.
Even if they're your friends, even if you're like, and the good thing is we have hives on College Settlement Camp and they were like, we got to sign something, but this is to protect you. And it has specifically, like, you need to give us a certain amount of notice. And like, I think even like you cannot move bees from this month to this month
we put that in there, or we like, you know, we're like, hey, this is probably a good thing. And they were like, oh, this is really good to have. Like, little did we know.
Yeah. That's like, no matter what, you got it. Absolutely. Because this person was our friend. They said like, yeah, you can live in my house.
Yeah.
I'd known this person for years.
Don't trust people that grew up spoiled, you know, like she owned horses. She's a little spoiled brat. Be a little wary of those people.
Yeah. What would I have been calling her? An insane
narcissist,
evil villain.
Yeah. Somebody saw a picture of her and they were like, oh my God, she's hideous. She looks like a villain in American Horror Story with her dumb lipstick and her face. That's why we haven't been, putting out podcasts every month for a little bit. We've been a little bit preoccupied, but
because it keeps being like, oh, we'll put one out. Oh no, everything just fell apart. Yeah. Oh no, everything.
And we didn't have internet. We didn't have. I mean, there was. I still have a YouTube video to put out, but we literally just got internet. I had no time to plug in at Starbucks for 4 hours and upload a video. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, also if you're. Beekeeping tip: if you have not tested your hives, now is the time. Don't let them go much longer. Because August is when the bee population starts to dwindle and the mite population starts to spike, and you can really see, even if you've been testing and you're getting low numbers, this is the time. August and September, you're going to start seeing that spike. So keep an eye on it.
If you're in a dearth, you're going to see a big spike because the bees during a dearth, when the nectar resources aren't there, they will start they won't procreate as much. They're going to cut down on the amount of brood, which is going to lead to a big spike in mite population because the bee population dwindles, but the mites still grow. So like your ratios are going to get completely, you know, changed. If you tested in the beginning of the season and you felt really good about it, some recent studies showed that drone bees are carrying a lot of the mites in the springtime and early summer. And then those mites are transferred over to the worker bees later on in the summer.
Wow. Do the mites know that the drones are going to die? I wonder.
Yeah. Who knows? It's a good question. But I think it's also like drones are way more prevalent in the spring. Like there's a lot more drones being made, and they procreate purposely in the drone cells because it gets them an extra reproductive cycle.
Right.
Because they have 24 days of, you know, from egg to emerge versus 18 or 16 or 21 or 16. So yeah, make sure you're testing, if you're using formic or like, you know, MitoWick quick strips, be very wary of the weather. Like we have a colder, not a colder, but we have an under 90 degree, under 85 degree snap apparently happening in a week, which would be a great time for people to do that. We use organic methods, so we use that, or we use oxalic acid vaporization, which you can do anytime.
Do we have time for Herb Corner, or should we just call it next time?
Let's end on a nice positive note with Herb Corner. And shout out to our friends Wayne and Kelly. Kelly gave us the idea. I hope they're listening to this on their trip down to Florida before they get on a cruise.
If we get it out that fast enough.
Kelly was like, hey, I love the little Herb Corner segment, but like maybe feature an herb.
That's like, she was like, you have like all like this knowledge. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I don't really know what any of it means.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's not what she said, but it was just like, can I get some more practical herb information?
And
so
I think that's where this came from, this idea.
Yeah, that totally is. So most practical herb I could think of was rosemary.
Rosemary rules.
I have not been able to get rosemary to overwinter, although some people can. And I've heard, and nobody's been able to tell me, like certain species.
Also, we usually have it in a raised bed.
Yeah, but even in the ground.
But
even in the ground.
But raised bed, definitely, it's like, it's really hard.
Yeah, friends have told me that it depends on the species. So just like cover it up with like some pine shavings or, not pine shavings, whatever, leaves and stuff.
Mulch.
Okay, so woody perennial, and it's hardy in zone 7 to 11. It's low maintenance. It likes full sun. You don't need to water it a lot. It doesn't want a lot of water.
Not pest issues.
Yeah. The thing about rosemary, if you want to grow it, is it's got a really low germination rate. So don't try to start rosemary from seed. Just go to a local nursery and get rosemary if yours doesn't overwinter. So, you know, we're eating rosemary all the time. It's a culinary herb, but it's also like potent medicine. So it increases circulation and it helps decrease inflammation in the cardiovascular system. So it's good for your heart. It's also really good just like on the skin, in the hair. If you want to make a hair like rinse out of it, it helps circulation on your scalp. It's really good for digestive issues. So there's different like energetics to herbs. So there's like cooling or like cold or warming or hot. Rosemary is warming, so it's a little bit more gentle. Like ginger is like hot, right? So ginger is good for your digestive system, but it can be like a little bit stronger. It can maybe be like taste-wise be too hot for and spicy for some people. And it could just be too strong, but rosemary is warming, so it's more gentle. You can make it in a tea and it can help with like slow digestion, that if you're having like bloating or gas or cramping or you feel nauseous, you can make like a nice rosemary tea. I'll give you like the how to make that in a second. And it's just like less adverse effects than like cayenne and ginger and garlic. I thought this was interesting. So rosemary, you pair it with like lamb, right? And like maybe some fatty meats.
It's funny because rosemary and mint sound very similar in a lot of the things you're saying.
Yes.
And,
well,
and rosemary and mint are such a lamb thing.
Rosemary is in the mint family.
Ew.
Look at you.
Wah, wah, wah.
But one of the reasons it's paired with fatty meats like lamb is because it supports the liver and it helps digest fats. So that was at one point.
Well, that's funny. It's like practical and the flavor matches. Huh. It's funny how nature does that. Your taste buds go, this is what you should have with this.
And also we've probably been pairing this for so long when we used to know this stuff, but we just don't know anymore. And then for cold and flus, it's really good. Like for sore throat, you can sip on some tea, put some honey in it. You can even infuse honey with rosemary, which could be really nice when you're sick, just like eating some of that. It helps to, because it's warming, it helps to warm you when you have like the chills and a fever and kind of balance that out. Maybe we should have given that to Greg. And it can support, like, if you have stagnant congestion and in the lungs, in the sinuses. So a therapeutic rosemary tea would be like dried. You would use like 2 grams fresh. You would use like 4 grams. I don't know how many people are going to have fresh.
Yeah. What is that in, like, it's like a tablespoon?
I don't really know, because you would want to, you're going to want to like chop it up when you put it in the tea. I don't know about that. I guess that's probably
do some Googling if you don't have a,
yeah,
you don't have a measure, a, but, you know, kitchen scale that's that fine.
But chop it up before you, and like put it in a tea ball, or you can just like put it in there and, but 2 grams dried, 4 grams fresh, and then in just like a cup of water, and drink it like 3 times a day, because the herbs in our system, they have like a, I think it's like a 4 hour, what is that called? Like,
yeah, they're in your system digestive for like system.
4 hours. So you're going to want to keep it in your body. So if you keep it in, if you want to do that, you're going to want to drink like a 3 to 4 cups a day.
Yeah. And then on the fun note, we've talked about honey simple syrup. If you go back, we have a B-side episode with mixologist Mike Landers where we talk about making honey simples. Double that tea recipe. So just use twice as much of the rosemary, make a tea, and then use that water to make a honey simple syrup. So you use that rosemary tea, you mix it about 50-50 volume wise. If you listen to that episode, we get into very specifics about it, but about 50-50 volume wise of that tea with honey, stir that up. You have a honey simple syrup for cocktails. Now you have a rosemary honey simple syrup, which rosemary is such, like Kara just said, it's in the mint family. It's so good.
It's aromatic.
Gin cocktails, mojitos. I mean, even rosemary simple in an old fashioned is dynamite.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, I'm not really drinking right now because of my dehydration issues and heat stroke. And by the way, people, I think I have Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Which was a part of this whole thing. If you go back to one of our first episodes, we talk about bee venom therapy and Lyme disease.
We'll be doing.
Doing that. Yep. So, yeah, welcome. I'm now going to be stinging. To help with Lyme, but yeah, make that rosemary simple syrup and bam, you got a really elevated cocktail or mocktail, which is really cool. Yeah. You can use that and not have alcohol and just have a really refreshing, beautiful summer drink.
And like when you make the tea, you're going to want to steep it for like at least 10 minutes. And then obviously the longer that it's in, the stronger it's going to be. So you could like play around with it. What do you like? Yeah. So to your health and go out in your garden and also like, maybe you want to start drying some rosemary to have in the winter. And that's so easy. Just cut some. Don't cut into the woody part. Cut where it's still like bendy. Because when you cut into the woody part, it's not going to grow back. And just put it in a cool, dark place. And then put it in a jar. Like, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. You just want to make sure you don't put it in a jar until it's fully dried and you can like snap it. Otherwise, it'll grow mold.
Well, we say it every time. If you listen this far,
you're a rock star.
You're a rock star. Don't be a victim, people. thanks for listening to our little American Horror Story. You're all happy to know we're in the clear.
We hope.
We're kicking ass. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We're going to do a little better getting episodes out now that our life is a little less chaotic and we have internet. You guys rule.
Thanks, guys.
Check your mite levels. Hit us with questions. We love y'all. Peace.